I've been watching with interest the political page on a news website, which has for some time now been featuring an image, a graphic, which consists of what looks like a stack of papers on the front of which is placed a large numeral. Today, it looks roughly like this. 7 days remain until our nation's midterm elections. That which was in the double digits just a few months ago has dwindled down to the single digit status. And if I'm that interested in that number as a simple voter, imagine how much more focused are the thousands of candidates who are seeking office in this election cycle. They know that it all comes down to what happens 1 week from today. In 7 days, each one of them will either rise or fall, advance in their aspirations, or be left behind. It seems safe to assume, therefore, that the candidates across the country are constantly thinking about the election calendar and now are very carefully following the political strategy that they think will help secure for them the victory. Well, it turns out they're not alone. We also are moving closer and closer and closer day by day to an even more significant event. The day when every single member of the human race will be declared a winner or a loser. Someone who eternally fails or eternally succeeds. Someone who advances in glory or is left behind in misery. Our Lord speaks of this event in the 24th chapter of Matthew. As the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The date has been set. The time has been established. There is a precise number of days between this moment and the day of the Lord's return. In this case, however, we are not given a number. In this particular situation, the Lord, in a sense, holds this up before us. Despite the claims of those who say they know when the end of the world is going to take place, including those who are making so much these days of, is it December 12, 2012? They don't have a clue. Nobody knows. Just before our text, Jesus says, "Of that day and hour, no one knows. No, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Nobody knows how many squares remain on God's global calendar. All we know is that when he does appear, it will be great. But will it be greatly terrifying or greatly exciting? Well, that depends. That depends on whether or not a person is ready. Those who are ready will joyfully rise. Those who are not will be left behind in destruction. One will be taken and the other left. So what makes for true readiness? Jesus takes us back to the time of Noah. Serving as examples of people who were not ready were the people of Noah's time. With the exception of Noah and his family, the entire human race was completely unprepared for the judgment that was coming upon the entire world. But at first, the Lord's description of their unpreparedness seems remarkably undramatic. In the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Strangely common sounding, isn't it? The people in Noah's time are described as being busy about taking care of their earthly needs, eating and drinking, establishing new households. But to their discredit, that's all they were doing. All they apparently were interested in was their earthly life, with no thought for eternity. Apparently, no one was thinking ahead. And they were stubbornly ignoring the warnings that the Lord had been giving them. Noah's very building of the ark on dry land was a very clear warning to the people that a catastrophic flood was about to burst upon the world. But they paid no attention, they ridiculed, they mocked. They falsely assumed that their earthly lives were going to continue without disruption. And in that false security, that lack of attentiveness, that lack of heeding God's warning, they were swept away. Fast forward to today, and it's not any different. The unbelieving world remains a place where people are focused on earthly life only, where they live only for the moment, and where they are, as a result, completely unprepared for judgment. This, despite the Lord's warnings, found in cyclones and earthquakes and famines and wars, and most importantly, in His Word. The vast majority of people remain a people unprepared. Lest we be swept up in the swiftly approaching destruction, therefore, God directs us to be ready. And, thankfully, the one who simply has faith in Jesus is someone who is ready. Through faith in Christ, we are covered with the righteousness that is acceptable to God for entry into eternal glory. And a natural part of being a believer is looking forward to the Lord's return. A Christian is someone who is on the lookout. Paul says, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." But since faith can weaken and even be lost, along with proper attentiveness, Jesus directs us to be active in being ready, so that we aren't found unprepared. What's kind of paradoxical about this, of course, is that Jesus directs us to be ready, and Christians are people who are ready. Nevertheless, they will be, Christians will be, we will be surprised, even though we are watching, because the very hour and the day is something which is completely unknown. But what we want is to be pleasantly surprised as Christians, as those for whom the coming of the Lord means release from sin, death, sorrow, and pain, and entrance into eternal glory. In a sense, therefore, the Lord sets before us a clipboard which looks like this. He might not return today, but He wants us to live with the mindset that His return is imminent. Since it could be today, He wants us to live as though it will be today. And imagine how that perspective can adjust the way in which we speak and think and act and interact. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. May the Holy Spirit, by His grace, see to it that we are a people who are spared, a people who are prepared through faith in our Savior, Jesus. We sing of His coming in the form of hymn 606, stanzas 3 and 4, 606, 3 and 4. Nearer is my soul's sound.